talk about a few other dates, just to mention, this is not specifically Chabad, but on the 20th day of Teves, which is coming up in next week. It's going to be next week. Is the Yahrzeit of the Rambam. The Rambam passed away on the 20th day of Teves. And it's also a time, as we know, the Rebbe instituted the study in the Rambam. There are several people who, or several, I should say, great sages. We had many great sages throughout our history. But there are several that stand out amongst the great, even amongst the great. Not only do they stand out because they have written monumental, they were outstanding scholars and written extensively, but I guess mainly is they have been mostly studied by everyone. And the Rebbe promoted actually the study of them. We have the Rashi. Rashi's commentary, we know. Rashi comments basically on most basic texts that we study, whether it's the Chumash, whether it's the Talmud, whether it's the Midrash. There's always Rashi over there. So he's like the main, he's like the key that unlocks a lot of the mysteries. And then we also have the Rambam. Rambam is unique, and this is connected to the 20th day of Teves. The Rambam is unique because in his code of law, he basically incorporated the entire Torah, which means we have a lot of commentary, and we have a lot of Talmud, and we have a lot of learning, but to organize everything in one place and to have it a systematic way, that's, the Rambam has done it in his book, Maimonides. Now, the Rambam also is unique. While most codifiers have really put an emphasis on the practical laws that we are applicable today, so like the laws of Shabbat, the laws of Kashrut, the laws of monetary laws that may apply today, those are laws that people have concentrated. Now you can imagine that the more people study and the more they concentrate, the more it becomes expounded upon, the more it becomes more ideas come up, and there's constantly building and building and building. So most of the emphasis of the study was on the portions that are used practical today, because we have many halachas, about 50% or more, that don't apply today. Like, for example, anything having to do with the korban, anything having to do with the Beit HaMikdash, anything having to do with various things that grow in Israel, which don't apply today. There's just so many laws that don't really apply today, especially if you're outside of Israel. But even in Israel, there's so many laws that don't apply today, and therefore, that wasn't as studied, that wasn't as elucidated, it wasn't expounded upon so much. But the Rambam is unique that in his book, he incorporates the whole entire Torah. And actually, his goal was not just to teach halacha the way he writes it, his goal was to encompass the whole Torah. What he wanted to accomplish, what he says in his introduction, is you read the Chumash, you read the Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, you read the Tanakh, and then you don't have to read any other book. You can go straight to the Rambam, and then you'll know the whole Torah. So his goal was that. But because of that, and also in the way he writes, and the way he set up his books, and it's very systematically, and people have spent days and weeks and books on trying to explain a certain halacha in the Rambam, why he says so, what's his source, because the Rambam didn't write any sources, he just basically told you what the halachas are, and people have studied it. Now,
he wrote one book, just one
many,
book.
It's called 14 books actually, it's called the Yad HaChazaka. Yad HaChazaka is a paraphrasing the Torah, the strong arm. Yad stands for Yud Dalet, that means 14. It's 14 books. Each one of the books is then further divided into sections, and each section is in further chapters, and the chapters have been divided into halachas, into different parts. So it's,
you study them every day, that's...
So it was somehow known that the Rambam is some book which people that are great scholars, they study, they figure out what the Rambam says. So even like in the yeshivas, when they study, they bring in the Rambam, they try to fit, how does the Rambam fit with the rest, and they try to figure out why the Rambam said so, why he writes so, because the Rambam, they look into every word, the order, and why he writes it, and how come, and it's just very, very meticulous, everything. But nobody ever thought...
Does it track the Chumash?
What?
Does it kind of track with the Chumash?
No. He actually does in the sense that before every law that he's going to discuss, and sometimes it goes through many, many chapters and many, many laws, he will bring in the opening which of the verses of the Torah he is going to be discussing. So, like, in the Torah, it may be three verses. A positive mitzvah, a prohibition, two or three. So that's the opening. And then later on, he just discusses those laws. So he just shows you where it's based on in the Torah, but then it goes through all the details. So it's from the Talmud. People would never, I shouldn't say people, ordinary people didn't study the Rambam just for the study of the Rambam's sake. But the Rebbe, at one point, he instituted that the people should study the Rambam, because notwithstanding the fact that the Rambam has very deep meaning, it also has the very simple level of understanding. He just goes through the laws. So you can just read the laws without having to really figure out why he said this or why he said this, just to read it through the laws. And the Rebbe made the Rambam very popular in that sense, that the people started studying the Rambam a lot, yeah?
How does it compare to the Shulchan Aruch?
Okay, that's... The Rambam is before the Shulchan Aruch.
Oh.
And we don't necessarily rule like the Rambam in practical cases, which means if the Rambam will disagree... Well, a lot of things they don't disagree. There's more things that they agree than they disagree. But we're talking about, let's say there will be a disagreement of how to interpret a certain law, how to do something a certain way. We don't necessarily follow the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch took basically three views of the Rambam, the Rosh, and the Rif. Those are three codifiers. And they choose two out of three to rule like them.
If two were the same, they would take that
rule. Yeah, two against two. Now, it depends how, if they weighed in on it, then not always did they weigh in on everything. So, the Shulchan Aruch is a later work from Rabbi Yosef Karu, who went and took the Rambam and the various other commentators or codifiers, and he ruled the Shulchan Aruch. Now, but the Shulchan Aruch, as I said before, does not deal with any matters that don't relate to today's time. It only deals with the things that apply today. It won't talk about korbanot. It won't talk about anything which is just academic for now. It talks about only practical things. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch, as I said before, it's been concentrated on the practical law, how it applies to us today. So we don't find... And a lot of laws, like for example, we're going to learn right now, we just started in the cycle of three chapters per day. I was going to say, so the way the Rebbe set it up is that people should study the Rambam. He wants them now. The Rebbe said that once a year, just like you covered the whole Torah, you should cover the whole oral Torah by studying the Rambam. Now people who study like Daf Yomi, Okay, it takes him 7 years to complete the entire Talmud, right. But in the Talmud itself, most of it comes from the Talmud, but the Talmud does not encompass all the other sections. There is the Midrashim, the Mechilta, the Sifri. The Rambam includes everything. The Rambam is basically takes out. But on the other hand, in the Talmud goes on a tangent. The Talmud talks about stories. The Talmud goes about other things which are not halacha, but that's not mentioned in the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't copy the Talmud. The Rambam just takes out from the Talmud those parts which are halacha, which have to do with the practical law. And the Rebbe therefore suggested that people study the Rambam. If you study three chapters per day, then you would end up covering the Rambam once a year, approximately once a year. But three chapters a day is quite a challenge. It's quite a challenge. It's a challenge even for scholars. It's a challenge. I mean, it was almost unheard of until the Rebbe came in to learn all that much. But there are some books.
It's a challenge because it's so much.
It's a lot. First of all, it's a lot. It's a lot. And that's number one. And number two, and it's a little, sometimes it's complicated, but today they have it in English and they have it in audio and videos and books. So they have a lot of aids today. It's made a lot easier. There was actually a book which was used like extensively, immediately became a bestseller. It's called the Rambam La'am. It was from Rav Kook. Most of Rav Kook, they published one with a very brief commentary.
And that took,
you know, everybody was buying that book. That was a book that everybody was studying. But in any event, so that's the order of three chapters per day. Then you have the order, some people is too hard for them. So the Rebbe said they can do one chapter per day. So that means if you do one chapter per day is pretty much doable.
3 years.
Take you 3 years. But some people even find that to be hard, even one chapter per day. Because to do a chapter per day, you probably need to spend like 45 minutes a day, you know, to half an hour, 45 minutes a day to go through it. So then the Rebbe said, okay, so now you can also study, which is called the Sefer HaMitzvot. The Rambam wrote, together with his book, the Book of Mitzvot. He took the 613 mitzvot, 248 positive mitzvahs and 365 prohibitions. All these laws, as mentioned earlier, are connected to one mitzvah or the other. They come from a mitzvah. So instead of learning the actual three chapters, they learn the mitzvah which relates to those three chapters. So whatever you're studying that day, in three chapters, you're going to do the mitzvahs that they are connected, the prohibitions or the positive mitzvahs which they come from. So therefore, it ends up having, we have three different orders, the way we schedule. We have three different schedules. One schedule is for three chapters per day. That corresponds with the second schedule, which is the mitzvahs of that day. So that's the second schedule of the mitzvahs. And the other schedule is the one chapter per day. And you have all these schedules, and you go through the Rambam. So the Rambam was all of a sudden made very, very usable to all people. Not only when you're coming to find an insight or to answer a contradiction or trying to figure something out, but it became very usable, and people learn it all the time.
Is he organized by the Torah portions?
No.
How does he do the... what's the organization?
Okay, so he's actually, so that's a good question. So he has 14 books.
Right.
So like today we just started, I was going to give you an example, we just started to do Shoftim. We started with the Book of Shoftim. Book of Shoftim means judges. That's the name of the book. That's the 14th and final book. We're going to be finishing the cycle soon, by once a year, so we're going to be finishing it soon, the cycle of the Rambam. So the Book of Judges, for example, will include, in the first one, is the laws of Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin is the high court. That was the high court. So he'll have the laws of Sanhedrin, the high court. Now, as I said before, the other codifiers, the Shulchan Aruch, is not going to talk about the Sanhedrin because there's no Sanhedrin now. We don't have a Sanhedrin. So it's not going to it's not going to discuss the laws of Sanhedrin, because there's no point in discussing the laws of Sanhedrin because we don't have a Sanhedrin.
Doesn't apply.
But the Rambam will. But that makes the Rambam so unique and important also, because anybody, if you're learning a verse in the Chumash, and chances are it's not an applicable halacha, and you want to find out some meaning about it, some, like you're asking about the Torah portion, you reference it to the Rambam, and the Rambam will tell you right there and then, because he asked, how is it organized? So the Rambam has the laws of Sanhedrin, and then he'll have the laws, even he'll talk about the laws of Mashiach, he'll talk about, and he'll talk about the laws of kings. Melech, the laws of kings. No, you won't find it in any other books, because we don't have a king today. So why would there be laws of kings? And everything, every law is sort of broken up, and each law is further also broken up into different chapters, and then the chapters are broken up into sections. So it's very, I'm not saying very easy, you can find things.
But does it correspond to, with the reading, those three chapters correspond to the Torah reading for that
week? Okay, so the answer, he asked almost a similar question. Yeah. The answer to that question is like this. The Torah has not been organized like that. It doesn't go one mitzvah, two, A, B, C, D. The 248 positive mitzvahs are scattered all over the Torah, right, in different parts and different places. So it cannot follow the order of the Torah. It doesn't go by the order of the Torah. There were some codifiers that followed the order of the Torah. They took it up.
So the weakest you're reading, you'll usually be able to study that part of it.
Yeah, but in the Rambam, it doesn't work that way. The Rambam, in other words, the laws we're reading today have nothing to do with the Parsha, have nothing to do with anything. It's totally. Now, I'm sure somebody can come find connections. You always find connections different things. We're talking about on the simple level, when you look at it, there is really no connection between any. They're just arbitrary. The only thing is, the three chapters is connected to the mitzvahs. They go together, and the one chapter goes of its own schedule.
What are the names of the books, like you said?
Okay, so I wish I could tell you all the one, but like the Rambam will go. First one is called Mada.
What?
Mada. Mada, actually, the Rambam speaks about topics of belief, knowing God, believing in God, knowing about creation. He talks about the different movements of the stars and the sun, and he has a lot of astrology, and he about creation, about world, about he encompasses all these things. That's only found in the Rambam. You won't find it anywhere else. But anyways, his Yortzeit is on the 20th day of Tevis, and in conjunction with that, it's always important to do a little study for the Rambam in that aspect. We used to do over here in Shul, and we used to do the Sefer HaMitzvahs. We used to translate every day. We learn. Maybe we should do a little bit more also, maybe in our class, do a little bit of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, actually in the honor of the Yortzeit. Maybe we should do a little bit of his mitzvahs, which he explains basically, a small piece, shows you the verse of the Torah, tells you where it comes from, and tells you about the different mitzvahs. He gives you a little bit of background about the mitzvahs. And the Rambam was very methodical, very organized, he numbers everything, and he comes and he makes everything like he tries to help you also remember.
Another computer.
But it's how the Rambam had time to be a physician,
right,
to be in the king's, and to write so much. It's just so much writing and writing and writing. And, you know, it's just like not comprehensible.
Well, I didn't sleep much.
Even not sleeping, you know, how does one... You know, we look at a lot of these physical structures that they built without the modern cranes, right, and without the modern. We marvel how were they able to do this? But in the spiritual sense, is also in the study is equivalent.
What do you write in Aramaic?
This he wrote in in Hebrew. So that's precise. The mitzvahs he wrote in Arabic. And an old language Arabic, because the mitzvahs he wrote for the folks over there, he wanted them to study a little bit and learn. He wanted to occupy them. These were the people that weren't learned people, and he wanted to teach them the mitzvahs of Hashem. And so he gave them in their language. And that's why there's actually a lot of times questions exactly.
Interpretation
is a translation. And it's old Arabic. It's not even the new. So it's like people are not sure exactly sometimes. And sometimes it's variations. Sometimes it makes a difference also. But that's a whole other thing.
So it's just like for the masses.
Mishnah Torah.
So like in America, they write
that's English. Called Mishnah Torah. The Yad HaChazok is Mishnah Torah. It means Mishnah Torah means second to Torah. Here. So once you learn the Torah, then you go to the Rambam. That's what
it
means
Mishnah
Torah.
Well, how do you read it?
So how do you read it? You read it from the Hebrew translation.
Yeah, we read. We have already. We have. Authentic translations, right. But there are scholars that later on that came back and they found sometimes there's like a problem with what he says, and they'll go back and they'll find and they'll figure out. And there was a person named Kapach who was a big big on translation, and there's Yehuda Ibn Tibbon. I'm not right now over there.
Prolific in the Arabic, old Arab language to do that conversion.
Yeah, and they had to learn those of them.